Now's the time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. We've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Friday, the 12th of August, and we welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comments section below if you are new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. We would love to hear from you. As always, and at this time, we want to welcome all of you guys on Rumble and YouTube, and of course, our podcast platforms of Spotify and Apple, or maybe if you're watching by the app, we welcome you to the broadcast as well. So today, this is going to be an interesting topic, and I know this is not going to be for everybody, but for those individuals that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, which I know there's going to be a difference of opinions theologically on either if there is a rapture or is there pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or whatnot. So again, this typically will always generate strife and discord in the comments section below, in the live portion of this. We ask that you be respectful, and please do not get into full-blown arguments about this. You know, if you want to debate this, message somebody and do it in private. If you guys are watching this and you don't want to see all that, if you'll just swipe over to the right, you will not even see the comments if you just wish to listen. So that's always available for you to do that. So nevertheless, let's get started on this thing. Here's what I want to talk about. What will happen immediately after the rapture of the church happens? This is a question that we've been asked multiple times. So I want to talk about this today. If you go to the, we're going to build up to this. And of course we did a five-part series on the rapture of the church, why I stand with a pre-tribulation view. Again, I do not, you know, I'm not going to hear it. I'm not to debate that. If you have a different point of view, that's fine. We're still brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is not a salvation issue. Again, we've made that clear. People make this out to be like it's salvation issue, and it's not. So again, now having said that, in our series that we did, we talked about how if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 4, John says that he sees a door open in heaven, a voice speaking like it unto a trumpet, and it says, come up here. And the Lord says unto him, the Lord says, I'm going to show you things which must take place after this. So it is my belief that the timing of the rapture is right there in Revelation 4, because Revelation 1, 2, and 3, God is dealing with the churches. There's what's called the seven church ages. It's the seven churches of Asia. And God is commending and rebuking these churches. He's calling them back to get back into right standing with him. He is cleaning up the church. Watch this. And he's making his bride prepared without spot nor wrinkle for the Revelation 4 event, which is, again, the voice like a trumpet. Come up here. John is immediately taken in the spirit, which, again, is a representation of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is, or somewhere around there. It's in 1 Corinthians. I don't have that right in front of me. But nevertheless, John, the Lord says, I'm going to show you things that must take place after this. And so the church age has come to an end. The church age has come to an end. And we now see, once it comes to an end, then we begin to see what happens after this. The church age comes to a climax, the rapture of the church happens, and then I want to show you what happens immediately after the rapture of the church. We come to Revelation chapter 5. When we come to Revelation chapter 5, we see something happening in heaven before something happens on earth. Let me say that again. Before something transpires on the earth, something happens in heaven. And what happens in heaven is, according to what John saw, he said there is a scroll that is sealed with seven seals, and the all of heaven is looking for the individual who's worthy to open the scrolls. And eventually it is Yeshua. It is the Lamb of God. It is Jesus who is found worthy to open the seven seals. Here's what's interesting. When you read Revelation chapter 5, you see that these seals are open. These seals begin to be open, which, watch this, when the seals are open, it initiates the seven-year tribulation, Daniel 9:27. But there's two other things that I want to tell you that's happening in heaven. Number one, John says, I saw golden bowls full of incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. And John says that he sees this, and there is all these elders that are gathered around, the living creatures are there, and he hears, quote, listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Listen to this. You were slain, watch, and have redeemed us to God by your blood. So notice there's a group in heaven that are saying, you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Look at this. Out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, and out of every nation. Now again, notice the individuals in heaven before the tribulation breaks out. There's individuals gathered around the throne room of God, the living creatures, the saints, and I believe the church. And they are praising the Lord who has redeemed them from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation by his blood, and have made us kings and priests to our gods. Now watch this. This is the saints, my friend, because when we come back with Christ, this is the second advent, the second coming. This is what Jude said he saw. This is Revelation 19. We come back with Christ to set up his kingdom, and we are made unto kings and priests to rule and reign with Christ. Now, then watch this. I want to show you what happens. Now we're going to shift from heaven to earth. Here's what begins to happen on the earth immediately following the rapture. John said, watch this. We go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. He says, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This white horse rider is not Yeshua. He comes back in Revelation 19. It is not the Messiah. This is the Antichrist. He is the one mentioned here in Revelation chapter 6. He goes on and he talks about the second seal's open. And then he says the third seal's open, and the fourth seal's open, and a fifth seal's open. All these seals begin to open, and each time they're open, events begin to take place in this chronological order upon the earth. Number one, the Antichrist comes. Again, four horsemen. These are spirits released upon the earth and are not literal horse and riders. Now, when we get to Revelation 19, it says the armies of heaven are coming out with Christ on horses. These are, when you get the these four horsemen of the apocalypse, they are represented as horses, or they're symbolic of horses. Now, by the way, guys, I just want to tell you that these horses, these are nothing new. These are mentioned, and we'll get to this in just a second. These horses were mentioned by Old Testament prophets that John is reiterating here. So again, we have the Antichrist comes onto the scene. Now, again, we know that this is the Antichrist by proper interpretation of Scripture. We see that he's coming with a bow with no arrows, representing that he comes in a diplomacy of peace. Now, remember, this goes right along with Daniel 9:27, because he makes a covenant with the nation of Israel and the surrounding nation, and at the beginning of the tribulation, there is peace and safety. And by the way, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when they shall say peace and safety. But then 42 months into it, the Antichrist breaks the covenant, sets up his headquarters, and that's at the mid-tribulation point. So you have this process of three and a half years. That all what I'm about to show you is going to happen after the rapture takes place. So the Antichrist comes on the scene. He comes and bringing a diplomacy of peace with the world. He, according to the book of Daniel, he will begin to do all kinds of things. In the beginning stages, he brings peace, but eventually he will attempt to change both laws and times. He will end the sacrifice in the temple. He will partner with the false prophet. He will begin, they will form this mark of the beast system, Revelation chapter 13, that's mid-tribulation. They will set up this image of the beast, but that again, that's 3.5 years into this thing. So in this process of time, there's more events that will take place. For example, the second seal is opened. So we're going to move on from that. So then we see that this spirit of this red horse that comes in the world, on the world scene, and this brings war. There will be a series of wars that will break out in the earth, unlike what we have seen probably in our lifetime. In fact, the word here in Greek, it says that, let me just read this. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. I saw a second seal open, and I heard the living creature say, "Come and see," and another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. And watch this, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Somebody say great sword. In the Greek here, it is a picture of the largest of four Roman swords, because again, in John's day and Paul's day and the days of the apostles, when they wrote these epistles, they many times used these metaphors and illustrations dealing with the Romans and their weaponry and their armor and that culture. And this term, the great sword, is the greatest of all these swords. In other words, there will be power over life and death by the governing authorities that are set up in the earth, which will be, watch this, the Antichrist and his empire. This is the eighth empire of prophecy that John spoke of in the book of Revelation. This will be the beginning of multiple wars during the first 42 months of the tribulation. So again, in a 3.5 year period of time, there's going to be multiple wars break out. Now think about that for a moment. Think about present tense right now. You've got Ukraine and Russia still ongoing. You've got China threatening Taiwan and America. You've got Iran threatening Israel. You've got Israel and these ongoing on and off scuffles between the Jewish state of Israel and the militant Islamic groups that are continually going. Now, eventually, according to Revelation chapter 6, there is going to be a series of wars that are breaking out. And it's going to be so bad, listen to me, that peace will be taken from the earth. And now, the combination of the Antichrist coming on the scene, and by the way, this is probably what's going to lead up to the Antichrist signing this 7-year covenant of peace. Because there'll be the world will be weary and tired of all the wars taking place. So the Antichrist comes in on the scene and he makes this treaty, and the whole world is saying peace and safety. But watch this, through all these wars taking place and desolations, it will produce, not to mention other combination of things, obviously, but through that, you're going to see, watch this, the next seal break, which is the third seal. And John said, I saw a black horse and the rider on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, again, this is a spirit of famine that will come upon the world, again, unlike anything we've ever seen. Famine will come to the whole earth, according to Revelation 6. It will cause rationing of food. You will see, again, it will be so bad that a loaf of bread will cost an entire day's wages. A penny in Roman times was a denarius. This is about 8 times the normal price of wheat and 5 times the normal price of barley. Now, you think about what's happening right now. This is why I call it prophetic precursors. What's going on right now with the wheat? What's going on right now with the barley? What's going on right now with the famine that we're having right now? It says the wine and oil will not be harmed. And according, there's some references here, and many scholars believe that there will be no grapes or any oil during the last generation. That's an interesting perspective. Did you know that? There is some scholars that believe there will be no oil or grapes during the last generation. In fact, there's a book in the Apocrypha, and again, I hate quoting this because people get all bent out of shape. I'm not saying it's gospel truth. I'm not saying it's part of Canaan of Scripture, but again, there is a book called the Book of Jubilees that mentions this, and I'm just going to read this to you. Jubilees 23:18, you can call it Jewish history, whatever, but it says, quote, there will be no grapes or any oil during the last wicked generation. That, again, I just think that's interesting to me. Then you go to the fourth seal. So watch this. The rapture takes place. The Antichrist emerges on the scene in a diplomacy of peace. He's waiting in the wings. He's waiting on deck. And while this is happening, wars are breaking out on the earth. Famine is gripping the earth. And then something else happens. Then we get to the fourth seal, Revelation 6:7. And John said, it was likened unto a pale horse, and the one who sat on it was death, and Hades followed him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword. Again, that's still more war, but watch this, with hunger and death and the beast of the field. So this is all a consequence to the other horses. What's going on with the Antichrist? What's going on with the wars? What's going on with the famines? as a, when this trifecta takes place, the ripple effect, the domino effect is rolling with this thing. And now again, quote, we're seeing more war. We're seeing more hunger, death, and the beast, and by the beast of the earth. There will be so many, listen to me, in the tribulation, there will be so many corpses of people dying in war, dying in famine and starvation, that there will be vultures, there will be lions, there will be these predators that will be eating the flesh of these carcasses. Now, listen, for all the mid-trib rapture folks that will always say nothing bad happens until mid-trib or the latter half of the tribulation. No, guys, we're in Revelation 6, my friend. We're in the first 42 months of the tribulation. And you've got this happening on the earth, and you say this is not bad? That's why I said, again, and this is called the tribulation, but when you get to the latter 42 months, it's called the great tribulation, because what comes later is going to be far worse than what we see in the first 3.5 years. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. This is what's awaiting you and I if we miss the first boat out of this place. Because again, the church, the ecclesia, is not mentioned from Revelation 5 on. Well, the word saints is there. Guys, we've covered all this. 5 hours of teaching on this. This always comes up, the word elect and the word saints. You got to look up the Greek words of these. There is multiple Greek and Hebrew words for the words elect, or the term elect and the term saints. Elect and saints there are not referencing the church. It's referencing the Jewish remnant that is in the earth in the tribulation. And thus, that's the reason God raises up Elijah and Enoch, or again, Elijah and Moses, whoever you believe the two witnesses are that come. And there's the 144,000 of the remnant of Jews that are marked by God. And the two witnesses are preaching to this elect and these individuals during the tribulation. Again, why would God send the two witnesses if the church is there? If we, the ecclesia, the church, is present during the tribulation, God wouldn't need the two witnesses. Come on, guys. I'm just telling you. That's why I hold to this view like I do, and I don't budge from it, because it's the only thing that makes any sense. And I said this in our series, up in heaven, this is going on in the earth. Meanwhile, up in heaven, we, the church, is at the Bema judgment seat of Christ, getting our rewards. And then we get to the end of the tribulation, and we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, not on the earth. Come on, are you listening today? So you've got the Antichrist is on the scene, setting up his empire. You've got wars, you've got famine, you've got death that's gripping the earth. Then, and again, this is in the first 42 months of the tribulation after the rapture. This is what is awaiting those that are left behind. Then you get to the fifth seal, and the Bible says that he opens the seal. And John says, under the altar, I saw the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for their testimony, which they held. Now, these are all those that were martyred, not just in the tribulation, but even before that. We covered this, I think, in one of our last segments that we did. These are individuals in heaven under the throne of God, and they're crying out to the Lord saying, when are you going to avenge our blood? Let me read it to you. Revelation 6, 10, and they cry with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said unto them that they should, watch this, rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. In other words, translation, ready? You're going to stay in heaven until the indignation has passed. The wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God, and the wrath of Satan has completed. Until then, you rest a little while, because there's going to be more that's going to join you, because there's going to be Christians that are going to be alive in the tribulation that were left behind. Are you listening to me? And they're going to have to make a decision, because they're going to be alive at the mid-tribulation point when this system is complete by the Antichrist and the false prophet, and wherein which those who are in the earth are going to have to choose to take the mark of the beast or reject the mark of the beast. And if they choose the mark of the beast, then they're damned for eternity and there is no hope for them. And if they reject the mark of the beast, then according to what John saw, they will be beheaded. They will be slain by the Antichrist. Again, this is all in what I just told you, is the first 42 months leading up to mid-tribulation. Now, I want to say, I'm going to look at my notes here. I want to talk to you about, I wanted to show you that, yes, let me read on. That's what I wanted to do. Let's go on to, let me go down to Revelation 6:12. All right, so you got all this happening. Then John says, "I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake." And remember, the word great is megos, where we get mega. "There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and they're saying unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Now, I had somebody constantly argue with me and say, "The tribulation is not the wrath of God. It's not the wrath of Lamb." Really? Revelation 6:16. "And they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his," what? "His wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God has not appointed us, the church, unto wrath. That's what his word says. That's what your Bible says. That's why Jesus said, "Pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things which shall come upon the earth." Now, let me talk about this. Did you know that all these things here that were mentioned in Revelation 6 by John that will happen in the earth in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation? Earthquakes, stars falling from heaven, the sun, the moon. All these are mentioned by Old Testament prophets. Did you know that? Again, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament is not just John speaking. Yes, he's speaking, he's recording these things, but he, watch this, he is showing you and revealing to you what the prophets of old had seen thousands of years before this event would ever take place in a generation's lifetime. You want proof? Here you go. You better listen. I'm going to talk a little bit fast. So if you're taking notes, I'm not going to pull all these scriptures up because it would take forever to do this. Ready? Earthquakes. Earthquakes are mentioned seven times in direct correlation with the last days. Ready? Isaiah 29:6. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. Y'all should know that one. Revelation 6:12. I just read that to you. Revelation 8:5. Revelation 11:13. That's when the temple's being built with the two witnesses. Revelation 11:19. And Revelation 16:18. Again, earthquakes directly connected with the last days. The stars falling from heaven. Ezekiel 32:7. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. Matthew 24, 29, great and fearful sights from heaven. Revelation 6, 13. Revelation 8, 12. The sun turning into darkness. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Joel chapter 3, verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, 29. Revelation again, 6, 12, and Revelation 8, 12. The moon turning to blood, Isaiah 13:10, Isaiah 24:23, Ezekiel 32:7, Joel chapter 2, verse 10, Joel chapter 2, verse 31, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, Acts chapter 2, verse 20, Revelation 6:12, and Revelation 8:12. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about there will be earthquakes, stars falling from heaven, the sun being blackened out, and the moon turning in blood. Now, let me go to the book of Joel. I want to go to the book of Joel because I want to read something to you. I want to read to you what Joel said here, because this is important that I show you this. Excuse me. Again, the book of Joel. Just give me just a second. We're turning there now. Joel. Here we go. Chapter 2. Watch this. This is a verse we've all heard over and over again. Joel 2. We're going to go down here to 28. Remember this verse? And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Remember, Joel prophesied this, and Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and said, this is that which was spoken by Joel. So Peter is affirming what happened in the upper room, Acts chapter 2. This outpouring of the Spirit of God was the initial stages of the fulfillment of Joel 2. Again, it was not completed there. It was initiated there, ongoing. And he goes on. He says, watch this, and your young men shall see visions, and also on your men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Then he goes, and then we move. Watch this, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Look at this. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. This is speaking of the second coming, the second advent. Revelation 19, Jude talks about this. This is when every eye will see him, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is when he comes out of heaven with the saints. This is not the rapture. And And this is why it says here that these things are going to happen before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Look at this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, there's going to be people calling on the name of the Lord in the tribulation. People will be saved. The Holy Spirit will still be moving. And people will be being led to the Lord during the tribulation. You're going to have the two witnesses preaching. You're going to have the 144,000. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a lot of believers that, for whatever reason, they're going to get left behind. And they're going to know they got left behind. Yes, but because, listen, how far you want me to go with this? The rapture is not a gift for salvation. The rapture is a gift for overcomers. I don't have time. Listen, I'll have to do a whole podcast on that because the Bible talks about that. It talks about the just and the unjust servant. It talks about those that overcome shall this and those that overcome shall do this. Again, the rapture of the church, the catching away, the gathering together. This is why he said, pray that you may be found worthy. This is a gift to the overcomer. Listen, when you're saved, you're saved. You're blood bought by the blood of Jesus. So if you die, you're going to go to heaven. But again, there's overcomers. You can't. And you say, well, I'm not following what you're saying, Brother Ricky. Listen, we've got a lot of people that are professing to be Christians, but in their works, they're abominable. Yes, I said it. They're professing to be Christians, but they live like they don't live a sanctified life. They don't live a holy life. They don't live a righteous life. They don't live, come on, dying to themselves daily. Why do you think the Bible says he's coming for a bride without spot, nor wrinkle, nor blemish? Why do you think in Matthew 25, they were all virgins? Are you listening? They were all virgins, but only half of them went in to the door when the Lord returned, and the other half were left behind. Oh, you didn't catch that. I said they were all virgins, but only half of them went, and the other half were left behind. It's a picture here. And I shouldn't even open that can of worms because people are going to be like, wanting me to expound. Well, we'll have to do a whole different podcast on that. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. There will be people being saved in the tribulation that got left behind, and they will know that they missed it. They will know that they got left behind. And I believe that with all my heart. These will be the underground churches that you think there's underground churches now. These will be individuals running from the wrath of Satan. They will be trying to hide from the tyranny of the Antichrist. And that leads me to the last point. And that is when you get to Revelation, let me open this back up. Revelation 6. Look at this. Things will be so bad in the earth. Look what it says here. So you got to get this picture with me. You've got wars, you got famines, you got the Antichrist waiting in the wings. You've got death happening. You've got all these things happening. You got the pestilence is taking place over the earth. And then on top of all that, you've got cosmic things happening. Stars are falling down, falling from heaven. You've got earthquakes happening that are so powerful that are moving islands out of their place. And because of this, it says, look at this, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich and even the commanders, come on, the ambassadors, the presidents, the prime ministers, they will hide themselves in caves and bunkers. You do realize that there is a great uptick. There's a great demand right now for underground bunkers. Because even the ungodly, even the unregenerated and the wicked, who don't know God, they understand that we are in tumultuous and perilous times, and they know that something is on the brink. Something, we are on the precipice of the another apocalypse. So they, what are they doing? They're making underground bunkers. They're fighting hidden caves. And it says in your Bible, in the tribulation, in the first 3.5 years of this, when all hell's breaking loose, that these men of power and leaders and prestige, they will be hiding in their bunkers, their underground caverns. They'll be hiding these places, and they will, according to your Bible, they will know that this is the wrath of God. It says it in your Bible. Right there, it's plain. They said, hide us from him who's on the throne, who is pouring out his wrath upon the earth. Wow. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, this is what's awaiting the first 3.5 years after the rapture takes place. The trumpet will sound, and in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the first, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo, caught up. Revelation 4. I heard a voice likened unto a trumpet speaking to me, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And then, come on, the church is in heaven, and then on the earth, look, I just gave it to you plainly, what's awaiting the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So here's where I want to leave you with. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be here for the wrath of God. And I got news for you. God did not appoint you and I for his wrath. And you say, well, brother, how can I assure myself? How can I be assured that I won't have to go through this? Well, again, guys, he tells you this. Ready? Look at this. Luke 21 gives you the answer. It's we're making this far more complex than it is. Luke 21. And I'm going to go over to 1 Thessalonians after I read Luke 21. And then we're going to close today's podcast or this week's podcast. Luke 21. If you got your Bible, you could turn it with me. Luke 21. Look at this. Ready? So the whole, in Luke 21, Jesus said, these will be the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, the end of the age. All these things will happen. And he basically goes over what I just shared with you that John saw in the book of Revelation. And then he tells you this in Luke 21, verse 34. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to believers. And he says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. Stop. Let's go to Matthew 25. Watch this. Matthew 25. We're still got ours right here. We're still in Luke 21, right? Now let's go to Matthew 25. And then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. All virgins took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Who's that? Jesus. Who's the virgins? Believers. They're all believers, all 10, all believers. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Did you see that? There's a distinction. They're all believers, but they're not all ready. Oh, come on, somebody. That right there was heavy. They're all believers, but they were not all ready. They all say they're Christians, but are they all walking in covenant with him? They say they're Christians, but are they dying to themselves? They say they're Christians, but are they obeying the word of God? They say they're Christians, but are they praying? Are they seeking him? Do they have a relationship with him? Are they burning on the inside? Is there oil in their lamp? Is their wicks trimmed and fire burning? Watch this. Those who were foolish took the lamps, no oil. The wise took oil and vessels with their lamp. Watch this. While the bridegroom was delayed. When are you coming, Lord? It's been 6,000 years. It's been 2,000 years, 6,000 years. It's been a long time. A day into the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years into a day. It's been a long time. My grandmama said he was coming in her lifetime and he didn't come. And then my mom and dad said they were coming in their lifetime and you still ain't come. And now it's in my lifetime and you still ain't come. The bridegroom delayed. By the way, your Bible gives a parable and it says that the man went on a long journey. Long journey. Now watch this. While he was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Remember, all Christians, but it says they all slumbered and they all slept. This is a prophetic picture of the last days. And this is why I have a real problem with preachers that continually parrot the same rhetoric over and over again, saying there's coming this great outpouring, this utopia, this worldwide revival. I don't see this in Scripture. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be pockets of revival and refreshing in churches and local bodies of Christ and even in our individual walks with God. Yes, the Bible says that. If, upon repentance, refreshing will come. Times, plural tense of refreshing. But look at this. But if this is a prophetic picture of the bride of Christ in the last days, it says they all, while the groom was delayed, they all slept and they all slumbered. You look across the spectrum of the body of Christ today and you tell me that we're not in a state of slumbered and sleep. We're in a state of slumber and sleep. We've got denominations that are ordaining all kinds of nonsense, advocating all kinds of nonsense. We can't even get half the churches to even preach the gospel and preach the whole counsel of God. We reject the Holy Spirit. We quench him, vex him, and grieve him because we don't want him in our services because we want our own agendas. We want our own programs. We've got glorified Dr. Phil's and glorified Oprah Winfrey's up behind the pulpits that are preaching humanism and new age and self-help and motivational messages. And there's no message of repentance, no cross, no blood, no nothing on sin. Listen, I am sick. If I see another preacher get up on Christian television or in an interview with a secular media organization and say on the camera that our church is diverse, and I'm not talking about the color of skin. They reference diversity and they get up and they say this, the pastors. I'm talking about mega church pastors getting up on Christian television and media outlets saying, in our church, we've got all kinds of people and we've got gay people. We've got lesbians. We've got gay couples. We've got drunkards. We've got all this. Listen, it's okay to have, listen, you can come into the house of God as you are, but my God, there needs to be a move of God in your church. There needs to be a move of the Spirit in your church. There needs to be conviction in your church. The word of God needs to be preached in your church so that you can come in the way you were, but leave the way he wants you to be. So it grieves me when I'm sick and tired of hearing these preachers get up and these pastors standing up and they are grinning ear to ear and saying, yeah, we have all this. We have these type of people in our church. Well, hello. Why aren't you rebuking their lifestyle? Why aren't you preaching a message that convicts them of their lifestyle? The last time I checked, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul is writing a letter to the church of Corinth because there's a boy in the church that's sleeping with his mother-in-law, and he writes to church, and he asked them, why haven't you grieved over this and dealt with this sin in the body of Christ? But we've come to a time when we don't grieve over it. We don't repent over it. We don't address it. We don't deal with it. We just let them come on in the name of equality and diversity. Oh, but we're going to have this move of God, preacher. We're going to have this great awakening that's going to sweep the nations. Yeah, right. I'm telling you, Now I understand when the when we get into this passage where it says they all slumbered and they all slept. Anybody with some discernment about you can look across the spectrum today and see that we are asleep and that we're slumbered, God help us. And it says that at the midnight hour, that's not literal, by the way, it means caught off guard, an hour that they didn't expect. The bridegroom shows up. Come on, y'all know the story. And half of the church was ready. Yeah, the other half was not. Again, now go back to Luke 21. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Come on, weighed down, put to sleep, lured to sleep with carousing, with drunkenness, and with the cares of this life. Listen, I'm going to preach it anyway. I know I'm an old school Pentecostal at heart. I know I'm a younger man, but I'm an old school Pentecostal preacher at heart. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not ashamed of it. I won't back down from it. And I still preach it like this. If you're listening to me today and you're on this broadcast, on this podcast, watching live, watching by the rebroadcast of this, listen, if you're shacking up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you, and you call yourself a Christian living in fornication, you are not going to be raptured. I don't care if you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, honey. You ain't going nowhere because you ain't going to live like the devil and expect God to reward you. Listen to me. I'm telling you, if you are a drunkard and you're lifting your hands in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, following a night at the club or at the bar, getting all liquored up and can't even, and slapping yourself around because you can't even get out of bed because you're hungover because you were drunk as a skunk the night before, you ain't going in the rapture. If you're living a homosexual lifestyle, you ain't going in the rapture according to my Bible and according to this gospel. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you today that Paul said, be not deceived. For the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, you've got much greater things to deal with than worried about the rapture or missing the rapture. If you're living like that, friend, not only are you going in fear of missing the rapture, but you ain't even going to make it into heaven. Oh, that's good preaching right there, Brother Ricky. Thank you. Thank you for the remnant that still likes to hear this kind of preaching today. Well, I'm not following you anymore. You are too judgmental. Well, good riddance, and go find somewhere that will give you a sucker, pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. But it ain't going to happen here. Woo! Luke 21. He says, you better watch out. Because your heart's going to end up getting weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. That day will come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the whole face of the earth. And he says, but watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. John says it is not known what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be likened unto him. Therefore, what does it say? It says, therefore, we have to be washed and purify ourselves even as he is pure. Whew. All right, now Thessalonians. And then I got to close. I'm going way too long. I didn't want to go this long. Y'all got me stirred up. You got me all routed up. I didn't want to go this long, but I've got to get this out. Let's see. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Let's see. Yes, 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. He tells you concerning the times and seasons. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says that concerning the times and seasons, that we are not in darkness, so this day should overtake us as a thief. We're sons of light. We're sons of day. We're not of darkness. And he goes on and it says, let us who are of the day be, watch, here's where I'm going to close, ready? Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So here's what I want to do to close this today. Listen, if you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, and you're not right with him, and you know you're not right, I don't need to twist your arm. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't convict you, what am I going to do? But you know in your heart, the Bible says that if my heart condemns me, then I am not in right standing with God. But if my heart condemns me not, then I have confidence towards him. And I know that whatsoever I ask, he hears. Did you hear that? You know, you're listening to this today. You're watching this today. Your heart bears witness today. You know right now, if that trumpet was to sound, you know whether you're going or whether you're not. Why not make it right right now? Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual today under the sound of my voice, watching him, listening live by the rebroadcast of this. I pray that if there be any individual today that is not right with you, Lord, they question it. They don't have confidence. They're uncertain. Lord, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would draw their heart, that you would convict them, that you would begin to draw them unto repentance where they're at. Come on, right there in your office, right there in your bedroom, right there at in your car, if you're pulled over to the side of the road, right where you're watching, right where you're listening. If it's live, it's by the rebroadcast of this. As the Holy Spirit's drawing you, you need to be receptive. You need to be responsive to him. You need to yield to him. And you need to say yes to him so that you are not caught off guard and that this day come upon you as a snare. If you recognize today by the Spirit of the Lord that you've allowed the cares of this life, you've allowed things to captivate your heart, to draw you into lackadaisicalness, draw you into a slumbered state. You say, listen, you're watching this and you're like one of the virgins. You're saved. You're right with God. You're saved. You call yourself a Christian, but watch this. But you know in your heart that you're not living for him. Yes, that would be called backsliding. I believe that. This preacher believes in backsliding. And if you're in that state, we don't want you to be left behind. We want you today to be receptive to him. Come on, heed the call today of repentance and getting right with the Lord. If you're watching this today and you've never accepted the Lord, you've never repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to come on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit and live in you and through you today, we want to give you that opportunity right now. Lord, draw them. You said that no man comes into the Father lest he be drawn by the Spirit of God, and he has to go through the Son of God, and he has to come through the blood of Jesus. And how you do that, the book of Romans says, if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, then the Bible says that you shall be saved. Come on, somebody. So I pray this today in the name of Jesus. We agree with you today in prayer, in agreement, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, thank you so much for hopping on. I know it's a little bit different today. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I did not expect that to go in that direction. But you know what? Thank the Lord, because I'm moved by the Holy Spirit. I yield to the Holy Spirit, and where he leads me and where he guides me, that's where I want to go. So if he does this for one person or two people, it's worth it. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you've not subscribed to our main website, please do that. Listen, get our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Download it today. You can get it to the Play Store, whatever device you have. Push yes to push notifications. Be notified of every headline and every podcast when it's available. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing encouragement, edification, equipping. If this is your home church, for some folks, this is, you know, our ministry is your home church, because there is no church that's spirit filled in your area, or they don't teach the whole Bible, whatever the case may be. And we know there's a lot of them out there like that. And we welcome you. We know that, and we acknowledge you today, and we love you guys. And we want to give you the opportunity to just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Be led by the Spirit of God. We don't manipulate people. All of our messages are free. Our app is free. Our websites, everything is free for you. The subscription base is free. All we ask is you pray and ask the Lord what you would have me to do. And I believe he will guide you and lead you. And you pray about becoming a monthly partner or one-time giver or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And you can do that two different ways: electronically through the app or through the main website. Or you can go old school, which is check or money order. And if you do that, just make it out to on your screen right there at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, as always, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We appreciate your prayers, and we appreciate your support. We're going to sign off for this weekend, but we will be back on here, Lord willing, on Monday. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then, guys.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.